My message today is No Other Name and No Other Way. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over this station at this time. We still are in a continued study of the Gospel of John, and now we are in the crucifixion story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for today is in John 19, beginning with verse 31. It says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came here out blood and water." Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you will guide us as we study this text in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we are in a crucifixion story where Jesus was crucified in the midst of criminals, one criminal on his left side and one on the other side. Of course, the question which arises, why did Jesus have to go through all this? And the answer is found in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12, where it reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, the no other name and the no other way doctrine became the center of apostolic teachings. The no other name and the no other way doctrine made Christianity, from its very inception, from its very beginning, the most radical, the most uncompromising, the most ungiving, the most non-negotiable and distinct religion in the world. No other way and no other name put Christianity in a war footing with all other philosophies and religions in the world. It made Christianity stand out and up among all other systems of men's thoughts. There's a common perception that there is some good in all religions and in all philosophies, and some have tried to take what they think is good out of every religion to construct one great new religion made up out of little pieces of good found hither and thither. But I want you to know that God is not pleased with that process. To God, there is no other way to heaven but through his Son who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. In fact, the Bible states that the only place you can find any real good is in Jesus. I know that I would be a lot more popular if I would say there's some good outside of Jesus, but I'm a representative of Christ, and I cannot say that. I would like to take you to the book of Colossians, second chapter, and I shall read to you, beginning with verse 8. Here the apostle Paul is warning the believers of his time that they should not that they should be careful not to dilute the no other name, the no other way religion of the Lord Jesus Christ with any other religion or any other philosophy. He says to them, quote, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." What it says here, dear friends, in simple language is, beware of philosophies, beware of religious traditions, no matter how old they may be. Do not allow them to come into your life. Do not allow them to corrupt the pure teaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And remember that there is no other way. Paul here says that anything that is not after Christ, that is not of Christ and will be judged and will be condemned and destroyed on the great judgment day. Anything that is not after His name and after His way has no life in it to save. Quoting again the 9th verse, "For in Him, that is in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness, that is all the goodness of the Godhead bodily." My friend, all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. So you can't find any piece of good in any other philosophy or any other religious system, because the Bible says all the fullness of God is in Christ. All the goodness of God is in Christ. So why do we look for other places? And how do you dare add something to that is not of Christ to Christ? Then it continues to say here that it is only in Christ that we can become complete. It says so in verse 10, "And ye are complete in Him." My friend, Christianity is a religion that stakes all its fortunes on one man, the man Christ Jesus. If you have Him, you have everything. If you don't have Him, you have nothing. You can't even follow Christ's teachings without following Christ and having Christ Himself in your life. Gandhi, one of the great men of this century in the world, tried to follow Jesus' teachings. He tried to follow the Sermon on the Mount, as many others have done. But dear ones, you can't live the Sermon on the Mount without the Christ of the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount and any teaching of Jesus is impossible to pursue, to follow, without Christ dwelling within us. Take, for example, the teaching of Jesus, "Blessed are the pure in heart." It is impossible for men to be pure in heart without having Christ living within him. Another teaching Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount is to love our enemies, to pray for them which despitefully use us, and to do good to them. This is impossible. Man does not have the strength within to love his enemies and to do good for them. It takes Christ himself dwelling within us to fulfill the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "Be thou perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." It's impossible for us to come to perfection without Jesus. We need this man Jesus, who himself is God. In all the religions of the world, as far as I know, you can separate the teachings from the teacher. You can say in your mind, "Our teacher, our founder, died 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago." Never mind. Never mind. We still have his teachings, and we follow his teachings and propagate his teachings. But we, as Christians, cannot say that. Never mind the teacher. Never mind if he's gone. No, in Christianity, our life, our hope, our salvation, our daily sustenance, our bread, our water, our light comes daily, flows daily out of the teacher himself, so that he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the bread, I am the water. He that believeth in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And without me, ye can do nothing. And by me, all things are held together. If you abide in me, you shall live. But if you don't abide in me, you shall die." I cannot live off the teachings of a dead Christ. I can only live off the teachings of the living Christ who lives in me. Don't let anybody tell you that there's some good in all the different religions and all the different systems of the world. Our Bible says it is in Him, in Christ, where dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is by Him that all things were created, that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That is, Jesus holds everything together. When we talk about Jesus, my friend, we're not just talking about a man, we're talking about God in Christ. Without Jesus in your life, you cannot live by this book, by the Bible. Jesus is the book. The Bible is only a commentary on Him. And this is why Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth." That is, I am the doctrine, I am the life. When Jesus was crucified, after He died, the Romans took a spear and thrust it into His side, and there came forth water and blood out of His body. Christianity is a religion of life, of no other name, of no other way. And so there's no other person whose blood sacrifice on your behalf satisfies the holiness and the justice of God. God is holy. He's thrice holy. That means he is perfectly holy. There are four creatures gathered around the throne of God who are full of eyes within and without. One has a head of a lion, one has a head of a calf, one the head of an eagle, and one the head of a man. And they say day and night, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come." God is holy, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. God cannot let any sin into his presence. He cannot allow any sin to get into heaven. To a holy God, there's only one punishment for sin, for any sin. Whether you steal a paper clip, or murder a person, or commit adultery, or resent your neighbor, there's only one punishment for all sin in the Bible, and that is death, and the consequence is hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God said, if I can find a perfect substitute, a perfect person who will take the punishment of death, who will take my judgment, who will take my wrath upon himself for lost humanity, then my justice will be satisfied, and I will let that sinner who receives the sacrifice go free. So God looked around the earth and among all the religious men, quote, holy, unquote, men in the world to find one who was perfect, and he could find no substitute. He could find none. Then he looked around in heaven, and he saw his only Son raising his hand, and his Son Jesus said, "I will go and die for the sins of mankind. I will take the punishment of their sin upon my body." So Jesus came to the world and became a man, and he died on the cross, and he shed his blood for you and for me, the perfect sacrifice. And my friend, ever since that time, Christianity has been, from its very inception, the religion, the life of one name and of one way, because only his life, only his death, only his blood, and only his resurrection can give us peace with God and life everlasting. So now you know why one of the Roman soldiers, pierced the side of our Lord with a spear, and water and blood came out of his side. Our Father, we come to thee today with great, great gratitude that you, Almighty God, have sent your only Son to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. We thank thee today that this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached in all nations of the world. We thank thee for those who have entered in, and we pray that they will be faithful until the very end, for it says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." We pray that thy Holy Spirit will bring conviction and draw all the lost ones unto thee, Lord Jesus. For no man can come to the Father except the Father draw them. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of speaking on radio, for your love and care and tender mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.